really internalize this idea of being honest about your abilities and your achievements. Don't sell yourself short in your own mind, because that'll be when you stop going for promotions and you stop raising your hand in meetings or speaking up in meetings or going for risk assignments. And if it takes writing it down on a piece of paper, the things that you've achieved, to remind yourself of what you have achieved, do that. And then be honest too about the downside of taking a risk. Sometimes I think girls particularly, but young women as well, we tend to catastrophize. If I apply for this promotion and I don't get it, what happens? What really happens? You don't get it. But you've put your name on the radar of your bosses. You've told them that you're interested, that you're keen. And next time around, they may come to you.
And that was Caddy Kay, anchor of BBC World News America. In 2014, Caddy and Claire Shipman released their book, The Confidence Code, which talks about why women struggle with confidence. And the book is supported by research in genetics, gender, and behavior. And it offers the inspiration and advice that women need to develop confidence and ultimately to achieve the careers they want and deserve. I'm Michelle King, and this is She Innovates, a podcast that shares the stories, challenges, and triumphs of women across innovation, technology, and entrepreneurship. So I'm really excited about today's episode. We've got Caddy Kay, the English journalist and author, who's joining us to discuss the confidence gap between men and women. Caddy is also going to be talking about how perfectionism and the good girl routine can be especially dangerous for young women. Hi, Caddy. It's so great to have you here today and to be with us on the show. I just wanted to say, you know, I love The Confidence Code. I've read it. But for our listeners, could you share a little bit about the book and how it came about?
Yeah, so the book came about because my co-author and I, Claire Shipman, had done a previous book on the value of women in the workforce. And for that book, we interviewed lots of senior women across industries. And we would always ask them, you know, how did you get to where you got to? And quite often the answer would come back, I was lucky, or I was in the right place at the right time, a kind of form of I was lucky. And it occurred to us that we didn't ever really hear men say that. Men would take credit for where they had got to. They wouldn't ascribe it to luck or to some outside factor like being in the right place at the right time. And that got us looking into the subject of confidence. And when we dug around on the research on confidence, it became pretty clear quite quickly that there was a significant confidence gap between men and women when it comes to their role in the workforce. It's not nearly so prevalent in our personal lives. Women tend to have similar levels to confidence as men when it comes to their relationships, when it comes to their role as parents, as spouses, as friends, for example. But get women into the workforce and their confidence level drops off quite dramatically. And there's a lot of social science around this, on this confidence gap. You know, that one of the most reliable social science tests that you can do is to give, for example, men and women a scientific reasoning quiz. Men will tend to say that they performed much better than they actually performed. Women will tend to say they performed less well than they actually performed, when in reality they perform about the same. So it was that kind of data that really interested us, that quantifies something that I think women have felt for a long time, but to get the science behind it was really interesting. And then, of course, to look at how we can close that gap.
You know, a huge part of what you touched on is this link between confidence and competence, right? Or perceived competence at work. Could you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, so sometimes people say to us, well, does it matter, this issue of confidence? And is it really just about swagger and bravado and how you act? And is that actually something women want to have anyway? And actually, there's been work done by a professor out in Berkeley. His name is Cameron Anderson, and he's looked at the relationship between confidence and competence over the years and done multiple year studies on this issue. And he has found that when it comes to the issue of success and professional status, confidence matters almost as much as competence, if not more than competence. And he's tested this out in different ways during his academic career and with his academic students. And he has found that students that display more confidence, even though they may be less competent than their peers, tend to be the ones whose status in a group is elevated. They tend to be the ones whose ideas kick up to the next level. And interestingly, the rest of us protect people who are a little bit overconfident. We like people who project confidence. And that was really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fascinating study. What were some of the lessons that you took away from that?
I think the lesson that we took is that for women, and when we first did this study, I should say that we found that result kind of depressing. We sort of thought, oh my God, you know, this is for women who are put such a premium on competence. The idea that confidence can be as important as competence was anathema almost. I think women often think, you know, if we put our heads down and we color in the lines and we follow the rules and we work hard, somebody will come along and tap us on the shoulder and say, hey, you know, Sarah, here's the keys to the corner office. And then we find that doesn't happen. And actually men are being promoted over us and they're getting pay raises bigger than ours. And there are lots of reasons for that. But perhaps one of those is this quality of confidence. And in the end, of course, we did put it in the book, but we realized that there was a kind of learning opportunity here for women. And I think part of it is that we need to redefine talent to include this notion of confidence, not just competence.
Yeah, I mean, one of the challenges, right, with confidence is this double bind for women. I mean, if women demonstrate confidence, they're going to be seen as arrogant, mm-hmm. but they need to demonstrate confidence to be seen as competent.
Right.
I mean, how can women navigate this? Especially, you know, how do you think women can demonstrate their confidence in a way that's authentic for them?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's lots of research on this, that when women behave as men do in the workplace, we get penalized for it, both socially and professionally, that, you know, a man is described as a leader and a woman is described as a bitch. I mean, Sheryl Sandberg has quite a lot of work on this as well. And some of the studies on this, blind resumes that show, you know, John is a leader and Jane is too aggressive. We did wrestle with this issue of basically, you know, do you have to kind of be a jerk to be confident? Is it throwing your weight around? Is it speaking longest and loudest in meetings? Is it doing things that may not actually come particularly naturally to many women? Is it a form of acting that we're not particularly comfortable with? And one of the people we talked to about this, who I think was particularly useful, was Christine Lagarde, the head of the IMF. And she said to us, the most important thing for women is to be authentic. It's not to try to act like men. We know that when we put on a suit of armor that is a male suit of armor, it doesn't work for us. And it's very hard to be confident when you are acting in a way that is not yourself. Now, this doesn't mean that you shouldn't be sitting at the table and you shouldn't be making your voice heard. Your employers are paying you to have your voice heard. They want your opinions. But it does mean that you don't have to try to be something you are not. So, and I don't think that confidence is swagger or bravado. Confidence, in a way, is very simple. One academic described it to us in this way, as a quality. And he said, confidence is the stuff that turns thoughts into action. And actually, thoughts without action are pretty useless. So if you see confidence in that way, and I think where women sometimes fall short in confidence compared to men, is that we tend to undervalue our ability. Our perception of our ability skews low. That's what a lot of the social science studies are showing on the confidence gap. And actually, if we can bring our perception of our ability in line with our actual ability, then we have the capacity to be authentic. Then it's really just a question of accepting that we are as good as we are and not holding ourselves back because we don't want to take a risk, because we don't want to fail, because we think we can't apply for that promotion because we don't have 100% of the skills for the job, or we won't ask for that pay raise because maybe we'll be putting people out and we're not quite there yet. And I think that's a really critical way for women to see confidence. It's just bringing our perception of our ability in line with our actual ability.
After the Confidence Code was released, Caddy and Claire traveled across the country and they talked to audiences in schools, nonprofits, and corporations about their book. And during those travels, they discovered that actually parents wanted to translate their book into a formula that works for girls. Mothers and fathers were desperate for ways to empower their daughters from a young age. So 4 years later, Caddy and Claire released The Confidence Code for Girls. It's a book that speaks to young girls on how they can practice and live a confident life. So Caddy, I mean, based on all the research you've done for your new book, where do you think the confidence gap actually begins?
Well, so one of the reasons we've written this book that comes out in April, The Confidence Code for Girls, because it became fairly clear, even while we were doing research for the women's book, that this is a issue that starts much younger than we had been initially aware of. And there's now quite a lot of research. And in fact, we've done our own polling on this that will come out to coincide with the book that shows a fairly startling drop off in confidence in girls around the age of sort of 8, 9, 10, in those pre-puberty years, tween years. And as girls get into that age group, they start to become much more afraid of failing. They start to become more perfectionistic. They stop taking risks because of that, which makes it much harder for them to grow their confidence. So as they head into those kind of puberty years, they have quite a dramatic drop off in confidence. It's combined with body image issues. Social media can be a wonderful tool for girls because it helps them reach out and do things they're passionate about. But it can also be a fairly tough critic of them physically, and that can cause them problems too. So that was why we wanted to do a book that didn't talk about the issue, but actually talked to girls themselves. And what we hope with this book, which is full of cartoons and quizzes and scenarios, it's really written for 8 to 12-year-old girls, is to give them a guidebook on how they can maintain their confidence levels. Because up until about the age of 6, 7, girls are just as confident as boys. It really kicks in at about 8, 9.
You know, Kati, I'm a mum. I've got a little girl, and I'm really curious, I guess, about some of these concepts that you touched on, this idea of like perfectionism and praise. I mean, how does all of that start for young girls?
You know, it's so interesting because I have a 21-year-old daughter and a 12-year-old daughter. And the other day, I noticed that my 12-year-old daughter was getting very stressed about a grade on a test. And she hadn't got the grade yet, but for a couple of weeks, she was sort of obsessing about this grade on a science test that she had due coming back to her. And the grade came back and it was absolutely fine. And she felt it wasn't good enough. And it was the beginning, and my kind of, you know, red alert went on at this issue of perfectionism. And it just is so hard for girls not to feel they have to be, you know, quote, good girls, or worse, perfect girls. And some of that does come from in the classroom, very young. We even tell our girls, you're such a good girl. And we don't really say that to boys as much in the same way. And you can see that for a teacher who is stressed out, or a parent who is stressed out, having a member of the family or a member of the classroom who you can rely on to raise their hand when they have the right answer, not shout out in class, not rag around in the hallways, that's a sort of relief, right? You have a section of your population in your classroom that you can rely on to be well behaved. And so we reward them for that. We call them good girls. And then they like the reward. They like being praised for doing that. And so then they try to be good girls. And fairly quickly, good girl becomes perfect girl. And that's where the risk is with confidence, because you are never going to develop your confidence if you're trying to be perfect. First of all, it's a standard you're never going to reach. Robots are confident. People are not perfect. We make mistakes. But girls start getting into this thing of thinking that only an A grade will ever do. And with that comes a lot of stress, you know, missing out on sleep, constantly comparing yourself to other people, and putting yourself down because you're not perfect. Nobody is perfect.
So Kati, I mean, you know, given how critical all of this is, I mean, what's your advice to parents? I mean, what could they start doing today to raise confident daughters?
I think we as adults generally with our kids probably have to be mindful of, do we put too much stress on praising them for a great exam result? Because if we do, they're always going to want to get a great, perfect exam result. And so just watch the way you parent, and watch the way you parent, particularly with girls, being aware of this tendency of girls more than of boys to feel the need to be perfect. Let them screw up. I mean, what better place for your girls and boys to fail sometimes than in the safety of your home and your environment? But I noticed it, you know, I noticed it with my kids when they were younger, when I'd take them to the playground. There's a sort of cosseting of girls, even physically, much more so than there is of boys. Boys are falling off bikes and falling off the monkey bars, and girls are being kind of, you know, held back a little bit, or protected a little bit, or discouraged from taking those kind of physical risks. And I think that's, you know, that's something we have to be aware of.
And Kati, I mean, finally, it's my last question. You know, what's your advice for women? How can they support one another to develop confidence?
Well, I think one thing that women, and particularly young women, are really, really good at is being great friends. We're wonderful at telling our friends that they're perfect and they're great. We're less good at encouraging them to take risks. and giving them that nudge that sometimes women seem to need to try things that are hard and new and difficult and sticking their necks out a bit. So with your friends and your colleagues, give them that nudge, you know, a little bit of a push. We're not fragile. We're not going to break. And it can be the best thing that you can actually do for your friendships. But the real thing I would say is try and really internalize this idea of being honest about your abilities and your achievements. Don't sell yourself short in your own mind, because that'll be when you stop going for promotions and you stop raising your hand in meetings or speaking up in meetings or going for risk assignments. And if it takes writing it down on a piece of paper, the things that you've achieved, to remind yourself of what you have achieved, do that. And then be honest too about the downside of taking a risk. Sometimes I think girls particularly, but young women as well, we tend to catastrophize. If I apply for this promotion and I don't get it, what happens? What really happens? You don't get it. But you've put your name on the radar of your bosses. You've told them that you're interested, that you're keen. And next time around, they may come to you. You apply for that, you know, you go into your boss's office and you ask for that pay raise. What's the worst that's going to happen? They're going to say no. But you've told them. When they come around to look at their budgets next time around, you may be the person that they say, actually, yeah, that person has expressed an interest and has made a good case for it. So be a little bit more honest with yourself about your qualities and your talents and your achievements and your abilities, and a little bit clearer eyed running through what the real downsides are of taking risks. And generally, they're less bad than you think.
What a fascinating discussion with Caddy. I mean, there are just so many great takeaways. I think the thing, though, that all of us can start to do differently as a result of listening to this episode is to try and internalize confidence. And you can do that by being honest about your achievements and abilities and not downplaying them. And as Caddy said, you know, even if that takes writing it down on a piece of paper, then do that, because that's how we begin to own our confidence. I really hope all of you enjoyed my conversation with Caddy. I think she shared a lot of practical advice for how women can really harness the power of confidence, and also for parents on how they can raise more confident daughters. We have another terrific guest next week, so please stay tuned.
From the Human Group, She Innovates is a podcast created with support from SAP NextGen, an innovation platform that enables everyone, from individuals, companies, partners, and universities, to connect and innovate with purpose. In doing so, SAP NextGen supports the achievement of the Sustainable Development Goals.